Hare Krishna. I welcome all the devotees to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are having class on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 25. It is Chatushloki verses of 4. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kitida Sundari Mataji on call with us to enlighten on the topic of Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So thank you so much, Kitida Mataji, for giving your time and association and enlightening on this topic of this Chatushloki Bhagavatam. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Please take over the call. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Sharma Supriya Mataji. And thank you all the wonderful devotees for all your wonderful association. So, I welcome you all for the class. So, let's move on. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Gav, Jaya Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamina. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Verse Number 36, Chapter entitled As Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. So, we are on the fourth and the last final session on Chatur Shloki, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have already covered the three verses, and today we will be covering the fourth and the final verse, which is text number 36. May I request everyone to please mute? Yeah, thank you so much. Etavad eva jignasyam tatva jignasu natmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyam. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Translation. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantitam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chari Swami Niti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Katata Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, dear devotees, thank you so much once again for your wonderful association. I really seek all prayers and blessings from each and every one of you, those who are on the call, and those, of course, who will be listening later. So please shower all your blessings so that I can speak with the right intentions, so that pass on the right relevant message as been given by Srila Prabhupada, also been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Prakashan and Saraswati, and finally been given by Lord Krishna to Brahma. So we have already covered the three verses with just a small and a very short recap. In the first verse, we did the understanding of the absolute truth. In the second verse, we understood Maya. Third verse, we dive detailed in understanding the material nature. And today, the final verse, the fourth verse, we'll understand about the human intelligence. So, let's have a little focus on Remember that these four Chatur Shloki, these four important verses, why Lord Krishna spoke? He spoke in giving the answer to the four questions that were put forward by Brahma. So three verses, three questions he already answered in the three verses. And now comes the fourth and the final and the most important and practical question that Brahma put forward to Lord Shri Krishna. So let's understand the question first, and then we'll see how beautifully Krishna answered. So what was the question? The final question he asked was that, how can I act in a way in this material world by which I can be the instrument in your will, in your supreme will, and at the same time, I, while acting in this world for your service, avoid being proud. Right? So this was the question. And this is the question of practically of every sadhaka who is practicing Krishna consciousness. Every one of us who are really sincere and dedicated in our Krishna consciousness have this question, that how can I act in the way in this material world, which is Dukhalyam Ashashvatam, how can I act in this way? And at the same time, we can become an instrument in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in preaching this Krishna consciousness throughout this world, far and wide. And then, of course, while acting, while being an instrument in this world, instrument in becoming the instrument of the supreme will of the Supreme Lord, how can we avoid being proud? Because this is such a subtle anartha that comes as soon as we perform any service and we get little name and fame for that. So, now the three verses ahead. In the first verse, just remember this question that Lord Brahma put forward. Because if we have the question in mind, then whatever the answers that Lord Krishna will give, that we'll see in detail, will make more relevance to it. Now, in the first verse, we saw that how Krishna established this point that I am the only one who exists before creation, who is existing now, and will be existing in future. In the second verse, we saw that how he says that anything that appears meaningful, but if it's disconnected with me, then it's just regarded as an illusion. That is what Maya is. And now in the third verse, we talked about that how a Lord is present in this world and yet he maintains the entire existence which is beyond this world. We have seen in detail. And this final verse we'll see that where, Krishna is giving the importance of how we should act in this world. Let's see the verse again. Etavad eva jignasam. So he's saying up to this, until now, this is the understanding that we should seek. What is that understanding? Etavad eva jignasam. We have to seek this understanding. Etavad means up to this point, whatever I have explained to you, eva is certainly, and jignasam is to be inquired. So that we have to inquire. What we have to inquire? Tattva jignasu natmanaha. Jignasu means, tattva means the absolute truth, the truth. That inquisitive people should come on to this point of understanding what that we have to understand, the absolute truth. And jignasu means by the student. So the student who is sincere in his spiritual progress should try to inquire about whom? About this absolute truth. How? Third line says, Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam. Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam means, Anvaya means directly, and Vyatirekabhyam means indirectly. So, directly or indirectly, we should try to understand or inquire about the absolute truth. Yat syat sarvatra sarvada. It is, and in all circumstances, in all places, and all times under all circumstances. It's not that, you know, we just inquire about the absolute truth, sit quietly, and the end of everything. No. We should keep inquiring. The point is that we should have some kind of inquisitiveness in understanding the Supreme Nature, the Supreme Absolute Truth. And in all circumstances, we'll see that how, what does it mean directly and indirectly, and what does it mean of understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth in all circumstances. So we'll see in detail. Now, see, let's start with this, our human form of life, right? So actually, you know, the answer to this question will be quite a repetition for all of you. Why? Because we all are doing this. We all are in this process of inquisitiveness. So it will be just a repetition for all of you. But still, you know, since it is covering this subject matter, so as a service, you know, we'll try to understand what this verse actually says and how we can also introspect in whatever we are doing in this process. So we human beings, you know, if we are not inquiring about the Supreme process, then it is said we are Dvipad Pashu. We are just working like an animal. Right? Because the real motive of our human form of life is to search for the absolute truth. This world, actually, we are bound in these four activities: ahar, nitya, bhaya, maithun, that is eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending. So we have to come out of all this. If we don't come out, then we are just like animals. Even animals, they also eat, mate, sleep, and defend. And we also do it, being in a human body, but in a more civilized form. So if we don't come out of this four process of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then we are just Dvipad Pashu, animals walking, two-legged animals, right? Dvipad Pashu. But Krishna has bestowed a kind of special kind of intelligence to this human form of body. And when we have possessed this sudurlabha, this such a great body which is very difficult to attain, then we should make a best use of it. And how we can make the best use of it? By only having that inquisitiveness, that desire to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, why this fourth answer is to be categorized understanding the human intelligence? See, all animals, all the living entities, they all are bestowed with some intelligence or other. We all agree to this, right? Because each and every living entity has some or the other kind of intelligence. Even such an insignificant, insect, that is bed bug, has some or the other kind of intelligence, that it bites only during the night time when it is total darkness. And as soon as you switch on the light, it disappears. It basically hides itself. It's very difficult to find a bed bug if you all have got some kind of experience of this insect. I personally got when I was in New Jersey. So, it's such an insignificant, but it bites terrible. And the bites only in the night time. The moment you switch on the light, it's gone. It's very difficult to find. So this is the intelligence that is bestowed by Krishna to that small insignificant insect. So it's not that the human intelligence is something, a super complexities, full of super complexities. Yes, in one sense it is. But the main objective of human intelligence is athato brahma jignasa, that a insignificant insect will not have that kind of intelligence. It will have the intelligence how to eat, how to mate, how to defend, how to sleep. But it doesn't have the intelligence of athato brahma jignasa. And that is the only intelligence, that the only power that has been given to this human intelligence, that we can inquire about the Supreme Absolute Truth. So there are the four questions that we should ask frequently to ourselves in order to have little bit progress in our spiritual life. What is that four questions? Who am I? What is my significance? Why I am in this world? Right? And then second question is, who is Supreme Lord? Who is that Supreme Absolute Truth? And third question is, what is my relationship with that Supreme Personality of Godhead? First of all, do I have any relationship? Do I believe in the existence of that Supreme Lord? And if yes, then do I have any relationship with Him? And the last question is that, yes, if I do have that relationship, then what activities I should perform so that I can establish that relationship with the Supreme Lord? I can understand that relationship with the Supreme Lord. So in nutshell, we see that if we have the higher intelligence faculty, then it has to be connected to the highest reality in understanding God. Otherwise, it will just be directed to a lower purposes of sense gratification. That is nutshell, you know, what we've been trying to explain, that if we do not direct our intelligence to understand the Supreme Lord, then definitely we lower down ourselves in just sense gratification. See, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna answers all questions that have been put forth by Arjuna. Right? But the end, in the end, actually I think so in verse number 63 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, see, now I have answered, I have explained to you the whole knowledge, what is confidential, what is general. I have explained to you everything, O Arjuna. Now it's up to you. Deliberate on this fully and then do whatever you wish to do. Remember how Arjuna has all those questions that I don't want to fight, and that's why this whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And at the end, when Krishna answers all his questions, he said, now it's up to you, Arjuna. You have to deliberate on those, whatever I have explained to you. And finally, you yourself have to make the decision whether you want to fight or whether you don't want to fight. So it's up to you now, whatever you wish to do. Here also, Krishna is leaving everything on Arjuna, that whatever choices you want, please make. How, you know, I just remember that even Gaur Gopal Prabhu, you know, I was listening to one of his lectures, you know, it's been quite some time. And he also said, B, C, D. B for birth, C for choices, and D for death. So in that B and D, is what is there is C. So similarly in our birth and death, whatever we have is only choices. Every day we make a choice whether we should wake up in the morning, chant my rounds, or just take a comforter and sleep. Then when we chant our rounds, then it's up to us. Okay, what I am going to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Shall I offer this? Shall I offer this? Now, next. Shall I do this kind of exercise? Shall I do that kind of exercise? Shall I go ahead and read Srimad Bhagavatam, or shall I go and watch a movie? Every day, every second, we have been given a choice. It's up to us what choice we make. This whole life is based on our choices. If our, that is what the free will is, you know, because whatever choice we'll make will determine our next action. So here also he's saying, it's up to you, Arjuna, now. You have to decide whether you want to follow my orders or you don't want to follow my orders. He's saying, act as you like. He's saying, act as you like. And that indicates that Krishna does not interfere with whatever little intelligence living entity has, whatever intelligence that Krishna has given to us. He does not interfere in our intelligence, in our choices that we make. So how do we develop that understanding that our real purpose is to connect with the Supreme Lord? And that can only be possible by accepting some kind of authority. So Prabhupada writes that the real goal of life should be to inquire from the bona fide spiritual master in the science of Bhakti Yoga. That's what Prabhupada gives this statement in the purport of this verse. See, whatever, you know, I'm saying is everything from the purport. It's nothing beyond Srila Prabhupada's purport. So Prabhupada writes that the real goal should be inquire from the bona fide spiritual master in the science of Bhakti Yoga. And we know in Nectar of Devotion also, Rupa Goswami, he actually mentions from Hari Bhakti Vilas that his elder brother Sanatan Goswami wrote. And from there he mentions in Nectar of Devotion the 64 limbs to devotional service. And the very first limb he mentions is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. It's so important. And that too in disciplic succession. And inquire from him submissively. That's the best and the foremost limb to practice Bhakti Yoga or to practice any devotional service. Why? Because the spiritual master is the representative of the Lord. He's Sakshad Hari. Right? Every day in Guru Ashtakam, when we sing Guru Ashtakam, we say, right? Sakshad Hari Tvena Samasta Shastrir. So the whole Shastra, the whole Vedic literature establishes this point that the spiritual master, he is Sakshad Hari. The conclusion of all the scriptures is that spiritual master is to be treated as Sakshat Hari. He himself will not say that I am God. If any spiritual master is saying that I am God, that means he is not the right bona fide spiritual master. He is as good as God, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments on that word. He is as good as God. So we should inquire from him submissively. In this regard, in Srimad Bhagavatam, also in the 11th canto, when Lord Krishna, when he was giving Uddhava Gita, he was speaking to Uddhava and he was giving the knowledge, he also states that, my dear Uddhava, the spiritual master must be accepted not only as my representative, but as my own very self. This is Krishna, he is saying to Uddhava, that spiritual master, yes, he is a representative, but he should be treated as not as a representative, but as my very self. He must never be considered on the same level with an ordinary human being. That's an offense of considering the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. We should not envy him thinking that he is an ordinary person, because he is the representative of all the demigods. And by pleasing the spiritual master, by serving the spiritual master, we are able to serve all the demigods. That's what Krishna says to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. Right? So the point is that we should try to follow a spiritual master, seek his instructions, abide by his instructions, and finally inquire from him about the Supreme Absolute Truth. And in what mood? That also Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. What is that famous verse? Tad viddhi pranipatena pariparshnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnanina tatra darshina. That just try to learn truth, approach a bona fide spiritual master, inquire him. How? Submissively. Right? Pranipatena pariparshnena, by asking him questions. And finally, rendering sevaya, finally rendering some service unto him. He can give that real knowledge to us. Why? Because he is tattva-darshina. He has seen that truth. Somebody who knows the truth can tell the truth. One who doesn't know the truth cannot give guidance to anybody else. Right? So our spiritual master has seen the truth. And if he has seen the truth, definitely he can impart the truth to all his disciples. And that's why Prabhupada also writes in that purport of that verse of Bhagavad Gita, which is really, you know, my best line, I should say. It really captured my mind the very first time I read Bhagavad Gita. Until now, you know, I really ponder on that sentence. And what is that? That the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. This statement, if we hold on to it, definitely, without any doubt, you know, this statement, if we hold on to it, it will come true. It will come true and we can make tremendous progress in our spiritual life. I'll repeat again. Satisfaction of the true self, realized spiritual master, is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Such a powerful statement. So the Lord is not to be found by simply some mundane academic education, or you can say some good fertile brain cannot produce some knowledge on the Supreme Lord. But surely he can be found and understood by the sincere student through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, our mind is so conditioned because of the present world we are in that we are not ready to accept any authority. We do not want to submit our mind, right, to any authority. Rather, we just want to make some decisions on our mind. Like whatever our mind says, we want to make decisions on it. And we know that what our mind is, it's just a clutter house, because it's going to lead us to endless confusion. And what that confusion will lead us? It will boil down to a meaningless life. Because the present world is such that we can believe, we can have some faith on mind, but we are not ready to submit to an authority. See, now this is not I'm talking about to all of you, because I know you all are such an elevated devotees. All of you have surrendered to a spiritual master. You all are abiding by the rules of the spiritual master. But this is what Prabhupada is bringing up the point when he was writing and quoting all these wonderful purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he was stressing on this point that how important it is to submit ourselves to a bona fide authority. And he said, if we are not going to do it, and if we are just following our mind, the conclusion of our mind, then it's going to give us the meaningless life. To an extent that we can even go ahead and commit suicide. And that was prevailing at that point when Prabhupada came to West. They were all hippies all around. They were not ready to listen to their parents. They were not ready to listen to their teachers. But they are simply, you know, listening to their mind, which was just the clutter house, and which was just making them deviated from the right path. And to an extent, they were simply intoxicated in that liquor, and they were simply, doing all kind of illicit sex, and they were even going to an extent of committing suicide. Right. So when we accept no authority, then we descend into that meaningless life. Right? But if we accept some authority, inquire from him, then that inquiry, which is guided by some authority, right, will lead us to a higher destination. If we don't submit to an authority, and if our inquiry is simply misguided, then that will lead us to the deepest, darkest ocean of this material world. And even if somebody says that, why do I have to accept the authority? It's fine, I'm not breaking any rules and regulations. But why do I have to follow some authority? There are so many scriptures, right, available to us. There are so many Vedas. I can read and I can understand by my own self. So there also, you know, Prabhupada condemned this point. He says that, yes, we have many scriptures. We have so many commentaries on these Vedas. But just by studying on our own, it's not going to give us the right conclusion. we will be simply bewildered, because each scripture can be interpreted in many various ways. We know that this fourth Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, where Krishna establishes that I am the summum bonum of everything, still taking the shelter of these four verses, the Mayavads propound their own Mayavad philosophy. Just taking the shelter of these four verses. This is how the scriptures can be interpreted. If not for Srila Prabhupada, then definitely we would have not understood this such a wonderful, conclusive answer, conclusive statement given by Lord Sri Krishna. We will not be able to follow if not for Srila Prabhupada. That's why it is so important that we have to submit ourselves to the right authority. Because these scriptures can be interpreted in many other ways. And as we all know that we have such a less time in this Kali Yuga. Our longevity is simply nothing in Kali Yuga. And so how we can just, you know, believe our own selves that just by reading Vedas we can, or just by reading various scriptures on our own, we can reach on to the right conclusion. No, we cannot. Just hold on for a minute. Yeah, sorry for that disturbance. So, it's just like a dense forest, right? It will be just like a dense forest. These Vedas basically are just like a dense forest. When it says, Shabda Jal Maha Aranyam, right? The Shabda Jal, this matrix of the words that are there in the Vedas, they are Maha Aranyam. They are, Aranya means forest. This is a dark, dense forest. Na bhukte, na mukte. We cannot even enjoy in this while understanding all these Vedas. And na mukte, neither we can get out of this material world. Neither we can enjoy this material world by staying in this staying in this material world just on our own studying these scriptures, neither we can get out of it. Words of the Vedas or scriptures can become a trap. Maha Aranyam. It is a dense, dark forest. We can neither enjoy, neither we can get out of this life. So all why this happens? When we don't inquire, and our inquiry is unguided, without any submission to our authority. As Martin Luther King also, you know, he suggests that we have guided missiles, but unguided men. So our real inquiry should culminate in inquiry about the highest absolute truth. And that higher reality, or that higher truth, will be revealed to us when we surrender unto the authority, the right authority. That is the key point that Prabhupada makes in this purport, that we have to surrender unto a bona fide spiritual master. Those who are yet not initiated, my humble request is to please follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, to please follow the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, because he gave this right important limb that we have to first surrender unto a right authority, only then we can progress. So we should not wait. We should not wait thinking, oh, let me test this guru, let me test this guru, let me see this, let me see this. No. In a sense, we can wait for the right moment to come, but we have to keep praying to Lord Shri Krishna. See, it's only through Krishna's mercy that we can get the right spiritual master. And it's from the spiritual master only we'll get to know about Krishna. So those who are yet not initiated and just being dragging their life, please take it seriously. Please take it seriously, because without surrendering unto a spiritual master, we cannot progress. Now those who have simply surrendered and are waiting for that just stamping, you know, then also it is considered to be surrendering only. Right now the stamping has not happened. Right now the process, the formal process of initiation has not happened. But that's secondary. But in our heart, if we have surrendered to somebody, then yes, definitely it is said that we have completed the process. Fine, the stamping has not yet done, but still from our side we have surrendered. Now it's up to Krishna. So please take it this process, those who have yet not surrendered, to please surrender unto the living Guru. Why it is important, a living Guru? Yes, Prabhupada is there with all of us as the Siksha Guru of every one of us. But still, as it is said, Sevaya, Pariparshnena Sevaya, that service to the living Guru can only happen when the spiritual master is there present in this world. So please take on to any of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and surrender unto him and seek guidance and inquire from him submissively and serve him. So we all know that how we have seen in Bhagavad Gita also, where Arjuna, he has so many doubts, right? He has so many doubts. And those doubts were literally bothering him. He was not able to come out from this. And finally, when he surrendered unto Krishna, he says, Karpanya dosho supahata sabhava prichhami tvam sarva dharma dharma sammita sammuda cheta yat shrehasya nishchitam bruhi tanme shishyaste aham. I am your shishya, I am your disciple, sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Where he said that, oh Krishna, I am simply confused, but now I am surrendering unto you. Please tell me what is good for me. I am your disciple. Now consider me as your disciple, Krishna. Right now I was on the platform of being your friend, but now I am your disciple. And I am a soul surrendered unto you. So please instruct me what to do next. This is what we all have to inquire from the spiritual master after submitting unto him. Now, moving on. So one should always engage oneself in the process of bhakti yoga. That's what Krishna establishes in Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's what Srimad Bhagavatam itself establishes this point. Now let's see. The verse says, Anvaya Vyatire Kabhyam. Right, Anvaya we said it's directly, and Vyatire Kabhyam means indirectly. So directly we know, we have spent quite a few time that how just by surrender unto a living Bhagavata, a living personality, and engaging in his service is the science of bhakti yoga, and that's what the direct process is. But here Krishna also says vyatirekabhya means indirectly. So how indirectly? Now as it is said that our Vedic social construction of human society is based on what? Varna and ashram. So what are the four varnas? The first varna is brahmanas, right? Like those who are categorized as the intellectual class. And the second is the kshatriyas, those who are categorized as administrative class. Vaishyas, mercantile or a business class. And then comes the shudras, which is the labor class. And we have four ashramas also. What is that first ashrama? Brahmacharya life, which is also known as a student life, a celibate life. Next comes the grahastha, which is the married life. Third comes the vanaprastha, that is the retired life. And finally the fourth, which is the sannyas, which is the renounced life. Or Prabhupada, in most of his purport, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he categorized as the devotional life. So now, the purpose of all this Varnashrama system is to work cooperatively among each other. It's not that one section can dominate on another section. Right? It's not that the Brahmanas being on the higher position can dominate others. Yes, the Brahmanas are higher, but still their point is to guide rest of all them. It's not to dominate on all of them. Similarly, the position of Kshatriyas is not to dominate the Shudra class and the Vaishya class. Rather, their position is to seek guidance from the Brahmanas and then to give protection to the Vaishyas and to the Shudras. So it's not about the dominating the other sections. It's about working cooperatively for the ultimate good. And what is that ultimate good? Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. For the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we are doing our Swadharma as per our Varnashrama system, if we are doing that Swadharma and we are not doing it to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then if Supreme Personality of Godhead, if Lord Shri Krishna, if our dear divine couple is not in the center of any of the activity that we are doing as per our Varnashram system, then whatever activities we are doing, it will only be a useless labor. Shrama eva hi kevalam, that Srimad Bhagavatam establishes in the first canto, in the second chapter. He says that, Suta Goswami mentions, that if we are not performing the activity which is pleasing to the Supreme Lord, though it may be fully under the Varnashrama system, yet it will be only Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Now this Bhakti Yoga process is not to be practiced. This is what, you know, we mentioned about directly and indirectly. Now the last word says Sarvatra Sarvada. So let's dive deep into this point, that this Bhakti Yoga is not to be practiced at a certain time or in a certain situation, okay, when all the problems are gone and, you know, the environment is conducive, okay, then, you know, I can surrender unto the Supreme Lord. But the moment some provoking situation comes, then we say, oh, why Krishna is doing to me? Why only me? You know, all these questions come up. At that time, our surrenderance is not 100%. Rather, our surrenderance, our practice of Bhakti Yoga should be practiced in all circumstances at all times to come. Like the word says, Sarvatra, Sarvada. Sarvatra means in all space and time, and Sarvada means in all circumstances. To this, Srila Jiva Goswami, he comments that the principles of Bhakti Yoga or performance of devotional service unto the Supreme Lord are apt in all circumstances and is recommended in all the revealed scriptures. It is to be performed by all the authorities and it is important in all places and it is useful in all causes and effects. This is right from the purport only, where Jiva Goswami Prabhupada mentions and tells that how Jiva Goswami comments on this specifically word Sarvatra Sarvada. And we can see through various examples also that how Prahlad Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj, they worship the Supreme Lord right in the womb. They didn't wait that, okay, let me come out at least. No, right in the womb they surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. They worship the Supreme Lord. So it's beyond any time, place and circumstances. The devotional service is beyond all this. We can perform at any time, at any place, under any circumstance. Right? Like also the next example we can see in childhood, just 5 years, Dhruva Maharaj, he was just 5 years, but he worshipped the Supreme Lord. Then Ambarish Maharaj, in his full youth, he didn't say that, oh, this is the time for me to enjoy. No. Because he was in his full youth. But still, he worshipped the Supreme Lord. He became the epitome of performing the Navabada Bhakti. All 9 processes were accomplished by Ambarish Maharaj in his full youth. And then, in the last stage of one's frustration, in old age, we saw that how even Dhritarashtra, he worshipped the Supreme Lord. He also surrendered. He was quite frustrated. He lost all his sons. He lost the battlefield. He lost his kingdom. In that frustration stage, in that old age, till lastly, he worshipped. He surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. And then we saw the case of Ajamil. He worshipped the Supreme Lord when he was right on his deathbed. That time also, he surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. And finally, Chittaketu Maharaj, you know, he worshipped the Supreme Lord even in hell and even in heaven. Right? So this is what Jiva Goswami brings up this point, and as been mentioned by Prabhupada in his purport, that, you know, at any time, sarvatra sarvada, that at all circumstances, at all time to come, we, the only thing is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to get involved in the process of bhakti. See, this material world, it is full of darkness, full of dangers. We have all those four basic miseries that everyone has. What is that? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease. But the only way to get out from this great entanglement is to accept and is to perform the loving devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. In this regard, Prabhupada also quotes the same, the very beautiful verse, again from the 11th canto. And he says that one may be very versed in all the transcendental literature, but if he fails unto the surrender unto the Supreme Lord, then it must be concluded, listen carefully what he says, that it must be concluded that all of his education is like a burden of a beast, or like one keeping a cow without a milking capacity. In other words, it will be a simple labor with no tangible results. As we already discussed, it will be simply shrama eva hi kevalam. It will be a simply labor without any tangible result. Whenever we perform some activity, we need those results. If we are not getting any results, that's not kind of, that doesn't motivate us to do any service. Right? So that's what Prabhupada makes of this point. Though devotional service should be unmotivated, but if it is done for the pleasing, for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, that itself becomes a motivation for a sadhaka to perform a devotional service. Right? This is what it means. Finally, to conclude, also I just want to mention that how, even Prabhupada mentioned, that how, you know, this devotional service can be performed. So there are the three levels of performing this devotional service. And as Jiva Goswami also mentioned in his one of the Sandarbha, in Bhakti Sandarbha, in Bhagavat Sandarbha, he mentions about the three types of bhakti. First is the Aropa Siddha Bhakti, second is the Sangha Siddha Bhakti, and finally third is the Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. Right? And what is the Aropa Siddha Bhakti? When we, whatever activity we do, even if we are sleeping, we should dedicate that activity to the Supreme Lord. How we can dedicate? Oh Krishna, I am sleeping so that I can regenerate my body and I can again engage myself in your service. I am taking shower so that I can clean my body so that I can engage myself in your service. I am cooking, yes, feeding my stomach, feeding my family members, but I'm cooking it for you, Krishna. I'm offering it to you, Krishna, and then ready to take the remnant as prasad. This is the Aropa Siddha Bhakti. As in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi kauntaya, tad purushave, mad arpanam. Do whatever you like, whatever you do, but mad arpanam. Just do it for me. Do it as a sacrifice for me. Then whatever you may, either you may eat, or you can do anything, or you can do some penance, or you can do some austerity, or you can do some charity. Whatever you do, do it for me, for my pleasure. Right? And this is what is Aropa Siddha Bhakti. We are doing it, but we are dedicating it everything to Krishna. Then comes the Sangha Siddha Bhakti. I am not a devotee, but now since I am in the association of a devotee, Krishna may categorize me as a devotee. A very vague and a crude example. If somebody is in a bar, you know, what bar is famous for? Everybody is there to drink liquor. Even if we go to a bar and having that milk in the cup, we are drinking milk. But since we are in the association of all those people who are in the bar drinking liquor, we will be categorized as drinking liquor. So this is what the association is, right? So this is what Sangha Siddha Bhakti is. We ourselves are not performing any bhakti, but the moment we are in the association of the like-minded people who are really inquisitive of inquiring about the spiritual of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Krishna will be categorizing us as the bhakta, because we are present in that assembly of a bhakta. That is what the Sangha Siddha Bhakti, that's what Jiva Goswami says. And finally, which is ultimate, which is the highest, he says, is Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. Swarupa Siddha Bhakti is where we perform our bhakti to understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that activity we do. And what is that activity? Hearing, chanting, glorifying Lord Shri Krishna, and finally remembering Him at the time of our death. Always, actually always remembering Him, right? In every stage of our life. One should hear about the glories of the Lord, chant His glories, should always remember His glories, and that is the highest perfectional stage of life. Shrotavya, Kirtitavya, Chadheya, Pujya. We should Shrotavya, we should inquire about Him, listen about Him, hear about His glories, Kirtanasya, at the same time glorify Him. Dheya, should remember Him. And how we can bring that remembrance? When our Shravanam and Kirtanam is perfect, then definitely that Smaranam will come, right? And Pujya, worship, Krishna Himself says, right? Worship Me, pay obeisances to Me, pay homage to Me, everything, do it for Me. And when? Nityada, always, constantly, every time. When we do this, that is the highest perfectional stage of life. And that is what Krishna is telling Brahma. And then when Brahma, remember this question? Brahma is saying, how can I do, how can I deal in this material world? How can I be in this material world? And how should I act so that I can be an instrument in your supreme will? This is what Krishna is answering. That you can be an instrument in My will by surrendering unto Me. By surrendering unto Me. And how you can surrender unto Me? You cannot directly. Okay, Brahma can directly, but we cannot, right? It's for the benefit of all of us. That how we can surrender unto the Supreme Lord? By accepting a bona fide spiritual master. By doing our prescribed duty, so-called prescribed duty, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Samsiddhi Hari Toshama. If we perform all this, then we can become a right instrument in Krishna's hand. And we can be the instrument in Krishna's mission, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Only then we can become an instrument. If we surrender unto Him and follow all these processes that is being laid down by our senior Acharya. So thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So to this we ended our before Shloki Srimad Bhagavatam, the four important verses that have been categorized as the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So let's see if we have any questions, any comments, any corrections.
Hari Bol. Thank you so much. Fantastic series. I really enjoyed the whole thing. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the fourth verse as well, and talking about the importance of spiritual master, how we first need to take the spiritual master surrender to Him, and then through that you can be an instrument in Krishna's hands. Thanks for describing the different Arup Siddha Bhakti and Sangha Siddha and Swarup Siddha Bhakti, talking about the importance of inquisitiveness in human beings. Very, very nicely laid out class, Mataji. Thank you so much. I only had one question regarding the examples that you were giving about people who have to do devotional service, sarvata and sarvatra. So there, you give the example of Prahlad as a child, Ambarish as a youth, Radrashtra as an old man, Ajamil during the time of death, and Chitraketu even in his next life, like as Bhatrasura. So my question there was about, I was very surprised to hear Dhritarashtra, because we also hear that Dhritarashtra only attained impersonal liberation because of the number of offenses that he did. You have any comments on that as to why specifically Dhritarashtra was chosen as the example? Any thoughts on that, Mataji?
Thank you so much, Mataji, for always encouraging and always giving the opportunity for me to practice this devotional service, like I said, you know, in the form of doing kirtan, in the form of speaking something on the glories of the Supreme Lord. First of all, I would like to thank you. Secondly, you know, these examples, you know, even I was quite bewildered. And when I read it first, it's written in the purport of the same verse where Prabhupada mentions that in the last stage of his frustration and old age, Maharaj Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. So, yes, because of all his offenses, he didn't achieve the right destination, what he was supposed to. But since it's mentioned that though he was quite frustrated, it's not easy to lose all his 100 sons. I know he had done a lot because that every action yields a reaction, right? So he did something and that's what the reaction came. But it was very difficult. It's basically difficult for us also. We also know that our action will yield of the reaction. But still, when the reaction comes, it's so difficult for us to digest those reactions. And similarly, it was quite difficult for Dhritarashtra to digest all the reactions that came up later after the battlefield. But still, on the request of Vidura, though he was frustrated, he was despondent, still, last, he surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. That's what the meaning is. That even at the point of his frustration, some people, when they are really frustrated, they go averse to the Supreme Lord. They have, you know, this brutal disease of cancer. Still, they'll say, see, that is the real time where they can surrender. But at that time, having that kind of disease, they go averse to the Supreme Lord. That why with me only? Why I am the only one who is having all this? They go averse to it. So it's again up to us. Again, the choice lies for us. That whether at the time of this critical situation we can surrender or we can go against. The whole life Dhritarashtra was against Krishna. He was so much in his son consciousness that he refuted even the presence of Krishna. But later when he lost everything, when he was on the point, on the verge of frustration, at that time, though on again on the guidance of Vidura only, but still, you know, he finally surrendered to his reaction. And, you know, that's what the point I thought that Prabhupada is quoting here. I may be wrong also. In
yeah, it makes sense, actually. No, Mataji, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I mean, at least at that time, he was waking up to the true fact, right? So that is, makes sense. Thank you so much, Mataji, as always. Thanks for pouring in all the hard work that you do and giving it to us in a very easily palatable form. Really appreciate all the efforts that you take. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. But again, I'll say if it is not Srila Prabhupada, then definitely these verses, as anything basically, the simple verses are so difficult to understand. But it's only Srila Prabhupada and its beautiful purpose and the commentary of our acharyas that, you know, we can really understand. Thank you so much.
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the class. my question is about the Arup Sangha and Sarup Siddha Bhaktis. I was wondering if I could, you know, my understanding, especially of Arup and Sangha Siddha Bhakti, is quite different from how you explain. So I think you were referencing Jiva Goswami for, I was wondering if I could get the references for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mataji. So do you have a question?
Yeah, that was my question. Because, you know, because my understanding of, mm-hmm. you know, your definitions of Arupa and Sanghasiddha Bhakti is so different from my own, the way I've understood it. I was wondering if I could get your references for those definitions.
So what's your understanding, Mataji? I can read directly from, right now I just paraphrased it, but if you want, I can directly read from that Bhakta Sandarbha. But what's your understanding,
yeah,
Mataji?
Okay, my understanding is that actually the definition that you gave for a Rupa's Siddha Bhakti is what I would have labeled as Sangha Siddha Bhakti. And a Rupa's Siddha Bhakti, I would have said something more like, if you perform some work that is not with a devotional intention, but if after you do the work you dedicate some of that fruit to Krishna, and so you go to work, you're working for your sense gratification, but you make some donation to the temple, you know, so some of the fruit of your labor is given for some devotional purpose. That's my understanding of what a Rupa Siddha Bhakti is. It's not done with devotion, but the results are given, at least part of the results are given for some devotional purpose. Whereas with Sangha Siddha Bhakti, there is work that is not inherently devotional, but because you do it for a devotional purpose, then you make that work devotional. So it's by your consciousness that you make that work devotional, even though it's not by itself devotion. You know, as opposed to, let's say, Swarup Siddha Bhakti, where that work is independent of your consciousness. It's devotional independently of your consciousness. You chant, no matter what consciousness you do it in, it's devotional. You know, so that's my, so I would have just wanted to...
Yes, Mataji, that's the right understanding. If you want, I can just read out. Right now, I was just making it on my own words. This is from Bhakti Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami and volume number 6. Number first, as Anucheda is also mentioned, 217. The first is devotional service is of three kinds, Arupa Siddha, Sangha Siddha, and Sarupa Siddha. Arupa Siddha devotional service is performed when, even though one personally has no devotion, the Lord somehow engages one in the activities of devotional service. This is what, you know, I was mentioning, that even though I don't have a devotion, when I'm cooking for the Lord, I'm not cooking for the Lord, basically. When I'm cooking in my family, my intention, 100% intention, is not that today I'm cooking for my Krishna or I'm today cooking for my Gopal. What I am doing is I'm cooking for the family members and also offering it to Krishna. So this is Arupa Siddha Bhakti. Right, I'm not 100% devoted to Krishna. Yes, I am offering everything to Krishna. Right, somehow engaging my activities in devotional service. But my consciousness is not 100% devotional. And Sangha Siddha, next he says, Sangha Siddha devotional service is performed when, even though one has no devotion, just by associating with devotees, one becomes engaged in the activities of devotional service. And to this, he gives an example from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.22, where he says that accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipping the deity, even though we don't have a devotion right now, the disciple should learn from him the process of the pure devotional service. So right now also, in this, still this category also, the devotion, the right devotion has yet not bloomed. But it's only when we are under the association under the guidance of the Supreme Personality, or so under the guidance of the spiritual master and in the association of devotees, yes, we do engage ourselves in that bhakti. Right. And then third, he says, Karupa Siddha, devotional service is manifested when devotional service is no longer mixed with jnana or karma, when the Lord directly appears before the devotee and when the devotee has pure and unwavering devotion for the Lord. This kind of devotional service is categorized by the various devotional activities that begin with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So this is, you know, directly I'm reading it now.
Mm-hmm. And he said that was volume 6, Anuchet 217?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Do we have any other question, any comment?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Wonderful class, Mataji, how we emphasize the importance of Guru and how we are like indebted to the Guru who will directly take us to Krishna, and so that we do not bypass this process of the Guru Parampara. So Prabhupada Mataji, like I just had a query over here. Like when everybody knows this process, if everybody is aware of this, but still we see people bypassing things and just trying to, like you said, right, if any guru says that I am the Krishna, it is, I think in same context I asked yesterday also a question in the morning Bhagavatam class. So this is very disturbing when you see that people are trying to pose that I am the authority, whether it is at a local place, whether it is at a temple level or at a devotee congregation level. So to deal with such things, we know that, okay, we have to, yesterday Prabhu said that you have to neglect sometimes things and then sometimes you have to report. But then what is the fate of such people who are not following in the parampara, or who are, though they have all the knowledge and then too they are trying to create their own importance? What will be their fate? We know we cannot do anything about it, but what will their fate be? I just am like always I just try to think, like, what will happen to them? How will Krishna react to such situations with them?
Thank you so much, Mataji. This is Sita Vritti, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your question. And I really cannot answer this question because this is what Krishna will deal with them. But what we have to understand and take it is that, yes, if we have a local GBC, we should accept that local GBC as the authority, no matter what he says. We have to accept. And we have to accept and regard the temple presidents. We have to accept and regard the Bhakti Viksha leaders. These are the right authorities. Yes, of course, on the top is Srila Prabhupada, and then comes our Diksha Gurus, and then comes our Shiksha Gurus. But at the same time, the temple authority, the GBC, the local GBC, the Bhakti Viksha leaders, they are the right authorities. Now, those who are taking undue advantage of this, their authority, of their position, and we know that something is wrong, but see, we cannot do anything, and we should not do anything, because we are no one to correct anyone. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this regard will always say, that don't regard that this organization, this Krishna conscious movement, is not something where everybody will be happy-go, where everybody will follow all the rules and regulations. No. This temple, this organization, this movement, this is a hospital where everybody is coming with some or the other disease. Somebody is coming with a disease of greed. Somebody is coming with a disease of lust. Somebody is coming with a disease of anger. Somebody is coming with a disease of fame, some pride. We all are in this movement, and we all are deceived with some or the other disease. The disease may vary. I may be full of lusty desires. Other may be full of some greedy desires. Other may be some have the greed of fame. Other may have a greed of wealth. So we all are deceived. And this movement, these temples, this organization, this Krishna consciousness, this is an hospital which will treat us now or later. We cannot demand the time. We cannot come to a conclusion that my disease is this disease and it can go off in 2 years or 3 years. No. Time is not under our control. We are diseased. We are working on it. When it will be removed, it's up to Guru Krishna. So we have to understand in this perspective. If somebody we see that is the authority is there and, you know, they are not taking up to the right thing what they are supposed to, then, you know, we should train ourselves. Rather seeing fault, we should try to glorify that. Of course, there is some glory in everybody. Everybody is blessed with some or the other good qualities. See those good qualities. And for the bad qualities, for the, you know, reversal things, we should try to make them that, yes, everybody is deceived here, right? And if they all are here in Krishna consciousness, means that they want to get improved of their diseased condition. Whether consciously they want or they don't want, but Krishna has put them in this organization, in this movement, so that they can get rid of their diseases. So this is just, you know, I can say it in a very superficial, I should say, this way, because otherwise if we keep on thinking what's their fate, what will happen to them, who are we to decide? We are not on that platform. My Guru Maharaj will always say, whenever I put such kind of questions on management or some administration, Guru Maharaj said, mind your own business. See for yourself where you are. Work on your problems. Work on your diseases. Let others be handled by Krishna himself. You don't bother. You don't poke your nose in others. But just see and work on your problems. Okay, Krishna, I have this. Because my list itself is so long. Let me work on my list first. Because if I work on my list, then definitely I'll not see the anarthas in others. Like the famous example, you know, it's been there in the WhatsApp and YouTube and you must have heard, but it's so apt in this. That once, you know, a lady, when she goes to the temple and say the temple president, oh, this is happening, why aren't you working on this? You are the authority, why should I consider you an authority? You are not taking any actions. People are doing this, people are doing that. I'm here just to tell you that I'm leaving the temple forever. And the temple president says, hold on. Whatever you say, I agree. And yes, you can leave whenever you want, but right now, take this bowl full of water and just circumambulate the temple 3 times and make sure not a water spills. And she goes around the temple and she made sure that not a single drop of water is out. And then the temple president said, so now you noticed anybody who is doing something wrong? And then she said, how can I notice? My whole focus was on the water, on that pot, so that the water doesn't come out. Right? So that's what our position is. If we focus our own self, we lose the focus from others. But at the same time, we have to see best in others and see worst in ourselves. This is how we can trust it. But again, I'm just saying it. I still have to imbibe in my own self. But hope this answers my question.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Yes, Mataji, we are very fortunate to be in Kalachandri Dham. The temple president is like above the world, like he's just wonderful. You have already experienced, right, when you're over here. So it's really nice to be in this community. It also means it's like beyond words. The way he has held up everyone together in this crisis also. Yes, Mataji, the explanation which you gave, it was regarding some other issues also, but then, yeah, we'll try to do that. Only the thing is when problems come the way, you tend to give a ear to other problem when somebody is telling you something and then that disturbs you. But yes, this helps, your explanation does help.
Yes, Mataji, that really gets disturbed. We do get disturbed. You know, we are, after all, human beings. We do get disturbed. It's not that, you know, we are on the platform of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma level. No. But still, if it is really disturbing and it's hindering our hearing and chanting, then definitely talk to your seniors, talk to your Shiksha Gurus, talk to the temple president. But if you cannot do anything, then we have to let it go, thinking that everybody is here to cure themselves. And you are really lucky in this regard, I should say, that Nityananda Prabhu, he is the ideal temple president I look for. And he really walks his talk. So you are in the right hands, Mataji. And he is so much available. He is so personalized also. It's not that you cannot approach him. It's so personalized. And he literally, you know, gives his ears to each and every problem. Like, it's my personal experience. So take his guidance. Definitely he'll help you out with any other issues that you may have.
Sure, Mataji. He's a father to our community, really. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Of course, Mataji. No doubt about it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Koti Koti Dhamushpanam. As usual, Mataji. Very, very effective in class, Mataji. How nicely you are writing that. What's our mood? Like, before that, also one Mataji told that when we are going to purchase the fruit and vegetables, our mood said, I will serve to Laddu Gopal. So we will select nice one. Same like that. Mataji, we are, including myself, that I am cooking for my family and Laddu Gopal. Laddu Gopal is our family member. Yes, but our mood, you today you correct me that no, I am cooking for Laddu Gopal and that prasad will be taken by my family. So thank you very much. As usual, Mataji, very, very excellent class. And yes, Mataji, my dad always says that we following Laddu Gopal Srinathji Dharma, so following Vallabhacharya, like our Guru Mahar, our Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. So my papa, my dad always says that every devotee has 60% good qualities and 70%, 65-70% and 30% is a bad quality. But from where, which day, from the day I started to see the fault from other Vaishnava, that Vaishnava also started to see the fault. So we should always see the good qualities of Vaishnava. By that way, Mataji, day by day, day by day, day by day, that 35% bad qualities are our anarthas, like in our garden, so many roses are there. But in outside there is a weeds also. So we have to clean weeds. If we are not clean the weeds, it's effect to our plant like that. That is anartha in our heart. But when we are hearing Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha from senior Vaishnava, Japa attentively, Mataji, that weeds are day by day. Kartam, Mataji. Thank you very much. So, so, so inspiring class. And we have to follow our Guru Maharaj instruction. Day by day, we have to improve ourselves and prepare ourselves to serve Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Seva.
Thank you so much, Linda Gopika Mataji, for highlighting that point. But yes, we have to take out the weeds in order to make our garden healthy. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for all your sincerity.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna, Mataji.
Yeah,
Mataji,
please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Kirtasuni, Mataji. Two questions and a comment, I think. One question and a comment. First thing, I was thinking, we need to take shelter of a spiritual master. And even if we have not had formal initiation, if we have, because of, you know, whatever, but we have consciously, subconsciously, or mentally taken shelter and taken initiation underneath the spiritual master, that's the beginning. And I was thinking how, I remember reading a quote by my Guru Maharaj. He was explaining, I hope I get this right, how he was explaining that, being initiated is not the end. It's just the beginning. And it was reminded me of one thing when Srila Prabhupada, somebody was saying, now that they're following the four regulative principles, they've, you know, become a devotee or something. And Prabhupada explains, no, following the four regulative principles, you become a human being. And so even after, you know, following four regulative principles and taking initiation, we're
still, as you said, we're still detained in the hospital, and we still continue the therapy treatment. We need to continue, and even
you have second initiation.
It doesn't mean you've. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So even if you're taking second initiation again, it's not that you've gotten somewhere. It's just the beginning of more purification and more dedication.
Exactly.
So, very nice. You know, so I was just thinking of that. You know, my question is, I understand that whole idea of that we need to think that we're cooking for Krishna and our deities and we are taking prasadam. But that's not, at least for me, that's not predominant yet. Mm. You know, it's almost like I'm thinking, and I've asked this question umpteen times, I know, and I'm asking it again because I need to hear it again. You know, and I'm always thinking that, you know, yes, this is, I'm cooking this and this and this because, you know, that's what's there, whatever, this is what people will eat, whatever. But then I'm thinking, Krishna, this is for Krishna too. And my mindset, to tell you truthfully, my mindset first is that I want to make sure that everybody's getting prasadam. That's why nothing is eaten in this house that's not been offered. You know, so that's my mindset more than this is for Krishna. You know, maybe once in a blue moon or something, I'll think of Krishna. Oh, I should make some sweet rice for Krishna. I should make this sweet for Krishna. I may think like that. But it's very few and far between those times. So how do we get there and not get discouraged that we're becoming so, I don't know, materialistic or selfish or not devotee?
It's abhyas anata kaunteya, right? Krishna says it's only abhyas. The more you do, the more you'll come onto that platform. Like it's for me also. I'm in the same boat where I also just think for my family members first and then Krishna, and then finally offer the food to Krishna and then everybody gets prasad. But again, like it said, that the water doesn't have the capability of making a hole in a stone. But if that water keeps falling on the stone, keeps falling without any break at a certain point in the stone, then the same water which doesn't have a capability will make a hole in that stone. So even the stone can be broken by a simple flow of a water, but it has to be continuous. So same here, you know, on the very first day we cannot expect, and if we are still in the movement for 10, 15 years, apparently looks very big. Oh, 15 years I've been practicing. 15 years is nothing. Is really nothing as per compared to the immemorable time that we have spent without remembering Krishna. That's why we are here today. Right? If we have been remembering Krishna, then we would have not been here. We would have been with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. But we are here, that means that we have rejected Krishna. And now, how can we claim, as compared to those past lifetimes, how can we claim that it's been 15, 20 years now I've been in Krishna consciousness and still I've not come onto the platform of a pure bhakti, the Vishuddha bhakti? We cannot. It's impossible. We are not Khatavanga Maharaj that in just 30 seconds, you know, we remember Krishna and we are gone home back to Godhead. We are not that lucky soul. So, again, that's what I understood in my learning so far. I know you might have experience also, you are much more senior than me as compared to what we have come to Krishna consciousness. So what my understanding, what I would like to share is just, you know, keep practicing. And that's what I remind myself. I'm not on that platform right now, but I know eventually that is my goal and I can come, but with the mercy of Guru and Krishna and with my practice, with my own sadhana. If I can take that sadhana seriously and do it continuously, then definitely Krishna will help me achieve that goal. So that's what...
thank you, Mataji. Yeah, thank you. I think that I like the example you give of the water, so, and the consistency. Yeah. And I think that's what I myself need to focus on, consistency. Thank you, Mataji.
We all, Mataji. That's what even Krishna says, right? Vyasena Kaunteya, that you have to, Kaunteya, you have to keep on practicing. There Arjuna says, it's very difficult to control the mind, Krishna. How can you tell me? I can control the environment by my bow and arrow, but not the mind. And Krishna says, Abhyas, do that, practice. And thank you for your lovely comment, Mataji. Thank you. That's, yes, initiation. The word initiate means to give, begin. And once, you know, when we get initiation, we think that we got some Paramvir Chakra. But it's not that. Our process has yet started. And second initiation means more responsibility. So, thank you for your lovely comment.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kitra Mataji. Thank you so much for again. Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much again for this power-packed class, Mataji. Your class was only going on. I just had this thought, and I don't know how, but it is just a thought which suits the situation. So, like when due to somebody's deed, whether it is they are doing for themselves to be into Krishna consciousness, but due to their deeds, if other devotees are having any trouble, whether it is financially, whether it is mental, and if they are doing it deliberately with knowing that they are doing it, then wouldn't it be that they are fast in the path of Krishna consciousness, their journey will be slow. Like whoever, we are all on a path to reach the lotus feet of Lord, right? So if we are doing something wrong, Krishna is going to be the best for it. And he will decide who comes and who waits. Like the example of the cobbler, the Brahmana who was bathing. Or the example of the dog and the Brahmana who became the president of the mutt. Like if that is the case, so Krishna will give them a higher position wherein they will again have to suffer. And so, like you said, we do not have to bother. So I feel like, yes, we do not have to bother. Krishna karma will play their role. This life, my Mahalakshmi, next life, whatever is there, they will deal with that. So instead of bothering what will happen to them in next life, as you said, I do not have to bother about it. And the, Krishna will take care of it. He will, every act has a reaction, right, in this life. Whether we are seeing it or not seeing it, that is another point. I just got this from your class only, so thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Itabiti Mataji. Thank you.
I just had a funny thought, Kizu Dasani Mataji, when you were talking about the lion. I was thinking, we may think that we may quote unquote know that he has Paramatma in his heart, but he doesn't know that we have Paramatma in his heart. he only sees us as food, so we gotta remember that.
Mother going there. Yes, that's such a sweet point. Yes, tiger doesn't know. He will see us as Mahaprasada Govinda only, and he will devour us. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, you are talking about energy also, where we are using means energy means our time.
Yes.
Mataji, can you come again? Because my volume was, my phone was.
Yeah, Mataji, with energy, I meant our time, our effort, our possessions, all this comes in our energy only.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. You clarified my doubt. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so thank you all so much for all your valuable comments, association. Where is Preeti Vilasni Mataji? Is she there or she's...
I'm very much here. I was hearing to her.
And why did you speak a single word?
No, nothing Mataji. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you all so much.
She left you to the wolves, see? How is
But
you know, usually in these things you always ask for a lifeline, right? I need a lifeline, I need to ask somebody. Preeti Vilasni conveniently disappeared.
Yeah, seriously. You know, whenever some question comes on me, she'll be always on mute.
No, Mataji, I'll let you speak because you're going to speak something very nice. So, hearing that, so.
She has so much confidence in you, see?
Sundari Mataji, she is such a nice beast for all of us.
Yes, she is wonderful. So, Mataji, so should we end the call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, and thank you for your patience and for answering all the questions and for the very, very beautiful class, making Chaturshloki so simple to understand. And I think this is a lifesaver, this Chaturshloki series that you have done. Thank you so much. It will be saved nicely, documented. It will be available on YouTube for everybody. Radhika Kasturi Mataji has made separate playlist for that. So that is really nice, and thank you again for your very valuable appreciation, your time and energy in this very one, in this nice seminar that you have done. Thank you, Mataji. So then we'll end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavandhi Jai Adhiki Jai. All glories to the assembled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Her great Kirtida Sundari Mataji
ki
jai. Hari Krishna.
Thank you.
Hari Krishna.